On Thursday, September 5th, current and past volunteers at CKUW gathered at Government House, the abode of current Lieutenant Governor, the Honorable Philip Lee, and his wife, Anita. They had been invited as part of a celebration of the station's 50th anniversary as a student group on the campus of what is now the University of Winnipeg. The following is audio from the event, including anecdotes from past station manager Nicole Furlot, a speech from current station manager Rob Schmidt, and an interview with the Lieutenant Governor.
Can you tell me when you first got involved with CKUW?
1986, when I was a student.
And
1986, don't you?
Yeah, I was three.
I had a locker downstairs in Manitoba Hall. And one day when I was getting my jacket, I heard them playing Fascination Street by The Cure. And I just thought that that was the awesomest thing. And I thought, I'm going to go and check that place out. And I did. And they were happy to have a girl programmer because it was very testosterone heavy. And so I hosted a show called Something Completely Different. And I followed the very first rap show on CKW. And they ended every show with Public Enemy, Fight the Power. and so I would follow that up with The Cure or The Smiths or something completely different.
What's kept you going for all these years as somebody that's been part of CKUW?
I don't know. There was something that I found there that was so unique, like family. People that liked a lot of the same things and people who didn't, but, you know, that there was always something really interesting going on. And I mean, the friends that I made at the station are still friends that I have today. And some of the people that I love the most in my life are from that time. When I was station manager, one of the DJs didn't agree with what I was doing. I can't even remember what it was all about. But he locked himself in the booth. You know, it was like, fight the power. And I just remember walking in with my keys, pulling them out of my jacket and opening the door and saying, what's wrong with you, dude? And he left and never came back, so.
Where is he now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, thanks, Nicole.
My name is Alex Stewart. I started at the station in 1991. So I had the Friday afternoon slot. Ted gave me a spot and had a great time. I loved it. The next year, I moved on and helped out Nicole. And Nicole was station manager at the time, and I kind of became her assistant. And again, you know, just doing all sorts of stuff. I mean, helping to run the station, filling in for people, dealing with record labels, just generally having a good time with it and having a lot of fun in radio. It was a good experience. From there, I moved on to be station manager for 2 years. And at that time...
Which years?
That would have been 93, 94, and 94, 95. I left in 1995, was my last year. And that's the point when we started the process of actually licensing. So we went... during my time there, we began to fill out the application, although it took many more years. But we also had the referendum where we got the student funding. And that was sort of one of the steps we needed, was to get a more stable source of funding for the station. So we had a referendum campaign, and I helped with that, and we got it. And here we are today, standing in Government House, talking about CKW, which is kind of surreal, actually.
I'm Bill Western, Jr. My dad also is Will Western, does a show on CKUW as well. Or he fills in now as well, but he used to do a show there. The show, I started it in 1996. I was a student at the university at the time. And the show is called Same Train, Different Time. So it was an alternative country. That was the theme. Alternative country program. And Rob Schmidt had just come on board at that time. And it was prior to the station being FM. And so the goal was to go FM at that time. And it was a good time to, you know, get involved with the station. I got to watch it go from, you know, we broadcast on campus. And then I got to watch it become an FM station, you know, a few years later, 99, I think. The real fun times, I think, were probably the fun drives, because you'd get you know, you'd get these, you'd get a bunch of different DJs and staff and people, volunteers, and working together and manning phones, and there was just a real energy, you know, during those weeks. So those were a lot of fun. Even the, just those kind of little weekly things of switching over were good memories too.
So 1963 was quite a time in history. I think we can all agree it was a remarkable year. There were international crises in Vietnam, Cyprus, and Syria. It was on the news. America, civil rights struggles. Obviously, we've all heard about that. In England, the Beatles released their first two albums, and a children's program called Doctor Who took to the air. Canadians weren't isolated from the instability. There were the FLQ was still actively bombing. And we had a federal conservative government that was toppled because they refused to accept U.S. nuclear weapons on Canadian soil. It was also the debut of The Littlest Hobo on television. Anyways, here in... Yeah, I knew Kent would like that. You know, here in Manitoba, the events were typically more modest, the beginnings of the Red River Floodway, and for us, the foundation of CJUC, which was the precursor to CKUW. It was the student radio club at then United College before the university got its charter. David Shilliday founded CJUC. He was a huge radio fan and had been in charge of the audio equipment for the college dances. In creating the station, he was assisted largely by physics professor Ron Riddell. Back at that time, with no students association, it was required to have a faculty stick to oversee any activities and expenditures, make sure it was all above board. The station was hooked up to the existing PA and reached most of the small campus at that time. Some of the first equipment came straight from Japan, and manuals actually required translation from Professor Victor Shimizu. This is a very different time. The club was a solo operation between classes whenever there was time to keep a record spinning. No rock and roll in those days, mostly breezy, popular music, folk, pretty conservative times, and a conservative campus, of course. But in such times, sharing news was inevitable, and it was on CJUC where students and faculty first heard accounts of the assassination of President Kennedy, another event from 1963. When Shilliday graduated, he left a nearly complete broadcasting license for the next manager to submit, but that's for another time. Student clubs are typically modest, a few energetic young people, lots of ideas, no money, gathered together with some general mutual interest. Priorities, as I remember them, tend to center on improving the world, making friends, and it's hard to say which is priority number one. And because of the distraction of student life, I think that it's doubly remarkable that we're here today at all, that the modest momentum generated by CJUC was sustained over all those decades to bring us CKUW. It's remarkable. CKUW remains a student group, and though we reach far outside our campus, student and university support is still critical to our success. Community backers have helped us grow since our FM launch, but as students, it was your support and dedication to the idea of democratic community radio that made this happen, so thank you. Thank you to every student who spun a record on CKUW. Thank you to all the staff members. Thanks to those who defended us against angry professors and budget-slashing student bureaucrats. Thank you to Stylus Magazine for keeping the idea of CKUW alive even when our speakers on campus were silent. Thanks to those who sat in judgment over the music collection, 30,000 pieces and growing. Thanks to the reporters and agitators whose talk radio has made CKUW stand even further apart from the rest of the dial. And of course, we can't forget the couch surfers, class dodgers, and smokers whose oblique contributions help form our station culture. So we appreciate and thank you for your past involvement. And I want to remind everyone that our doors are always open for volunteer involvement. It's been an amazing 50 years. Let's celebrate. Thank you.
Around the time when television was first broadcasting, an opinion survey asked people which they prefer, radio or the flashy new invention television. One survey participant is said to have answered, "Radio, of course, because the pictures are better."
I was born at the later part of the Second World War. My entire family was sort of running from refuge to refuge. And my father, being the head of a big family, the first important is to feed the family, you know, during the war, because, you know, there's no regular business taking place during the war. Everybody was fleeing here and there. And so whatever you can sell from the household forever, whatever you can sell for to convert to cash and then feed the family, people do so. And luckily the war ended at the right time when my father was just running out of the resources to support the family, and then the war ended. So I was a very young baby anyway that time. But then after the war, things start to get reorganized, and then my father reestablished his business and so on. And during the war and this few years afterwards, the only means of communication was the radio. Actually, during the war, my father has been listening on the radio how the war progressed, you know, whether the Germans, the Japanese were being defeated, or the Italian too. The three of those were the major war aggressors, right, during the Second World War. So when the atomic bomb was dropped in Japan, that's the signal that the war was going to come to an end. So my father prepared the family to come back to Hong Kong and continue on to raise the family as he took it as his responsibility. But then I was only a few years old and starting to learn from schools and so on. My father was very busy with business. You know, he was a hard worker throughout his life. So to feed the family is the number one priority. So he worked hard every day. He would work until 6 or 7 o'clock before he came home. And there was a radio program that one of the anchors were talking about history of China, which my father was very much interested. So my father told me that, okay, that program started at 5 and finished at 6. But by the time my father came home, he would have missed the program. So instead of missing the program, or once in a while he may have played hockey and listened, though, so the story was never connected page to page or chapter to chapter. So he gave me the assignment, son, between 5 and 6, you turn on the radio, listen to this anchor, talk about the history of a certain part in China and certain era, and then when I come home, you retell the story to me, however way you want to tell me. So, of course, I can skip homework for that time period, listen to the story, and I was very much involved with the as a good listener, too. And in that process, it turns out to be training, right? Because you are listening to professionals, how they make presentations of a story or of an issue and so on. The articulation of the anchor certainly impressed me, you know, how he can communicate using the certain dictions and how he could describe a story or a certain event. So verbatim, I repeat the whole thing to my father after work. And day after day, you know, I mean, 5-6 days in those days, they work 6 days a week. That was intensive training on my use of language, on my phonetics, and also the confidence, how to, when you talk, you are not nervous, right? That young people often suffer. So year after year, when I went to high school, I became a rather good debater and an orator, right? That I can read a speech, I can do a speech in school and so on. And I guess when I came to university, I was very much involved with politics because I like to talk. And I would say that must be destiny to train me to be what I am today.
That's fascinating that this one episode is just been such a role?
An inadvertent thing that my father, certainly when he gave me the assignment, he never realized the benefits I received as a result of his assignment. It was supposed to be, say, you know, you do an errand for me, you know, like any father would give to a son, right? But, you know, a lot of sons would have refused accepting assignments and say, oh, I have to do this, I'm busy or something. But I accepted his demands and his assignment gracefully, and besides, I enjoy listening to storytelling from radios. So that was a symbiotic process that I didn't realize that it was training and learning until years afterwards. And it seemed to come naturally that you can talk and make presentations with confidence. The first impression that I have for Canada was that the place has very nice air, fresh, clean air, and big, lots of space. You know, you don't get cluster, you don't get lots of people. And then the people seems very friendly, but never seem to be as open up as those people today. You know, you are not, I'm talking about 51 years ago. People still got a very small window and perspective to judge some people from outside, such as myself coming from Asia. Certainly they don't know my background, and so everything I did became kind of curious and suspicious for them. And because of my background, that I was able to join student associations, politics, and so on. So I became, frankly, a target by security people, such as the RCMP and immigration people. Who's this guy from Asia that's so active in student politics? What's he up to? Those were the questions that people often ask, right? And now that I'm friends of the security forces, they told me that, Your Honor, in your younger days, your file must be that thick. So, you know, those were the first experience. I noticed that Canada has been doing well by being open up to foreigners such as myself when I first came, right? But it came a long way. In those days, a lot of people were still very much ignorant about what took place in the Orient. They thought, that Canada, they were isolated here anyway. And so a lot of things that we did, they may not appreciate to the advantage of what were the good things about.
Thank you for, nice meeting
thanks
you,
for sharing.
Yeah.
Your Honor, do you have a moment for a quick photo?
Yes, I don't.